Svarupti Navidhe Chin. Impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and the personality of Godhead are three subjects. And the glowing effulgence, the partial manifestation in original form, are their three respective predicates. Anuvada agipachi vidheyastapan se artha kahishuna shastra vivaran. A predicate always follows its subjects. Now I shall explain the meaning of this verse according to the revealed scriptures. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna Vishnu Paratattva Purnagyana Purnananda Parama Mahatva. Krishna, the original form of the personality of Godhead, is the summum bonum of the all-pervading Vishnu. He is the all-perfect knowledge and all-perfect bliss. He is the supreme transcendence. Nandasuta Baliyandre Bhagavate Gai Se Krishna Avatirna Chaitanya Gosai. He whom Srimad Bhagavatam describes as the son of Nanda Maharaj has descended to earth as Lord Chaitanya. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to the rules of rhetorical arrangement for efficient composition in literature, a subject should be mentioned before its predicate. The Vedic literature frequently mentions Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, and therefore these three terms are widely known as the subjects of transcendental understanding. But it is not widely known that what is approached as the impersonal Brahman is the effulgence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental body. Nor is it widely known that the Supersoul or Paramatma is only a partial representation of Lord Chaitanya, who is identical with Bhagavan himself. Therefore, the descriptions of Brahman as the effulgence of Lord Chaitanya, Paramatma as his partial representation, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is identical with Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu, must be verified by evidence from authoritative Vedic literature. The author wants to establish, first, that the essence of the Vedas is Vishnu Tattva, the Absolute Truth, the all-pervading Godhead. The Vishnu Tattva has different categories, of which the highest is Lord Krishna, the ultimate Vishnu Tattva, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita and throughout the Vedic literature. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the same Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is described as Nandasuta, the son of King Nanda. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that Nandasuta has again appeared as Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because the conclusion of the Vedic literature is that there is no difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This the author will prove. If it is thus proved that Sri Krishna is the origin of all tattvas, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, that there is no difference between Sri Krishna and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it will not be difficult to understand that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also the same origin of all tattvas, the same Absolute Truth, as he is revealed to students of different realizations, is called Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So, in these verses, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is, according to the Shastras, establishing a basic foundation by which the reading of Chaitanya Charitamrita will have its true effect on the heart of its reader. You see, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his divine lila, is understood to be none other than Lord Sri Krishna himself. We find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami, before narrating the 10th skanda, where he explains the personal birth and pastimes of the Supreme Lord in Mathura, Vrindavan, Dwarka, Kshetra, he first, through the first canto, and through actually the first 9 cantos, he establishes the divine nature of Krishna. being the source of everything. For instance, in the first canto, Vadanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yajganam advayam brahmiti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdite. The learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth say that it is non-dual knowledge and is called impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and the personality of Godhead. After this, shortly after, it is described by Sutta Goswami how the Lord appears in various incarnations according to the time and the need. He describes many, many of the different avatars: Kurma, Varaha, Vamanadev, Nrsimhadev, Lord Sri Ramchandra, Parasaram. It explains the incarnation of Dattatreya, Nara Narayan Rishi. In this way, Lord Buddha. At the end of this list, Ete Chang Shakala Pungsha Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. He describes it, there are so many incarnations of the Lord, they are like the waves in the ocean. We are constantly coming to the shore of this material existence for the sake of reestablishing religious principles, protecting the Lord's devotees, annihilating the miscreants. But of all these incarnations, it is said in Bhagavat, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, that Krishna is the original fountainhead, the source of all other incarnations. And although there is no difference between Krishna and his expansions and incarnations, the Brahma Samhita uses the example that just like one candle lights many other candles, once they are all lit, all the candles are of the same quality, but still one is the origin that has lit all the other candles. So according to Brahma Samhita, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami, Krishna is that origin. And then throughout the Bhagavatam, it describes how Krishna has appeared in various avatars, how he has shown his mercy to the devotees, how he has revealed his supreme potency and powers. And then it goes into describing his divine lila. Because unless one understands the first nine cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, one will not really enter into the mystery. People today, they hear Bhagavatam, they go to the Bhagavat Saptaha, 7 days, how much can you learn about the Absolute Truth? By the time they get to Krishna's Leela, nobody really has any idea who Krishna is. It's just so many wonderful stories, or some story of incarnations. But Bhagavatam very substantially wants the reader to understand the supreme power of God, of Krishna, before hearing his pastimes. So in the same way, Vedavyas, who has manifested his supreme literary potency in the heart of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, is following the same process. Of course, he is not so elaborately going through nine cantos, but he is establishing very firmly on the basis of Shastra, through logic, through philosophy, through every type of process to bring about conviction and faith. Krishnadas Kaviraj is establishing the supremacy of Krishna and how that Krishna, in his original absolute form, has descended as Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when we understand this, then when we read the beautiful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we will understand the divine nature of what he is doing. And we will reap the greatest benefit. Therefore, we find in the first section, the first volume of this Chaitanya Charitamrita, and to a large extent the second volume, there isn't so much in the way of the stories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it's just very, very authoritative, logical, philosophical, shastric evidence in to establish who Lord Chaitanya is. Even most religionists today, they accept Lord Chaitanya as a great saint. Of course, any way respect in any form, we will benefit. But they cannot, such persons cannot truly appreciate the real substance of Chaitanya Charitamrita. They hear the story of Lord Chaitanya, they hear about his leelas, about his dancing, about his ecstatic symptoms. But because they have not carefully studied the first volume, the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, they really miss the whole point of what is actually taking place here. Just like very recently, one very, very pious and very holy man, he came, he gave some very beautiful discourse in our temple. And what he loves to do is he loves to discourse on various great saints, on Nirsingh Mehta, on Mirabai, on Tukaram, like that. And he's very well known. He travels all over the world, and Indian communities invite him, and he gives musical, he sings. He's very sincere. He's not a professional showman. He's very sincere. So he was very anxious to have a three-day presentation on the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he asked me, could you, from the books about Lord Chaitanya, especially Chaitanya Charitamrita, can you help me to extract the essence, the most important pastimes, the most important teachings, so that I could make my whole presentation on the basis of that? He was Gujarati, he had the Gujarati translation of Chaitanya Charitamrita. He wanted certain chapters and certain, which are considered by the Lord's devotees as the most important. So he said he could come over for half hour. And he ended up here for 5 hours, sitting in this room. And he was just struck with wonder, because practically the entirety of Chaitanya Charitamrita is only understood from the point of view of Lord Chaitanya being the Yuga Dharma avatar, the Yuga avatar. And he had never heard this before, although he had been talking to sadhus and saints and discussing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for many decades. He had never understood this. He always thought, he always loved and worshipped the Lord as a great saint. But when he heard, through these pastimes, through this philosophy, that he is actually Krishna himself, that you are worshipping him as Godhead, and that there's so much shastric evidence and so many wonderful leelas to establish this, he was practically in tears. He said, this gives like a whole new dimension of how I'm going to present this talk about Lord Chaitanya. And of course, it was all based on Prabhupada's books. He was taking the stories from there. So yes, most people in India today, they accept Lord Chaitanya as a good saint, as a religious reformer, who took the many people, when they consider Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they think that yes, the Madhva Sampradaya and the Ramanuja Sampradaya, and they were very much teaching Brahmanism, that the rituals that Brahmins are to perform, and that that if you are a Brahmin or an upper class person, then you can enter into these Sanskrit study, performance of various yajnas, various rituals for purification. But the common man really has no access to these truths. And they consider, but Lord Chaitanya, he was a very great saint because he brought the essence of the Vedas, Nam Sankirtan, and presented it in an easy way that everybody, whether they were Christians, Muslims, Hindus, Jews, or Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Sudras, Sannyasas, Brahmacharis, Grihasthas, Vanaprasas, he didn't discriminate. He simply distributed the essence of all spiritual knowledge to everyone, with a simple process everyone could follow. So people considered, such a great saint. No one has done like this. But, to really enter into the true understanding of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we have to have a background of who he is. He is Krishna, who has come to this world for the purpose of experiencing the divine loving sentiments of Sri Radharani, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi. The Supreme God had divided into two parts for the purpose of reciprocating pleasure, and that those two divine supreme persons, Radha and Krishna, have merged into one form so that they could taste the bliss of the other, so that Krishna could taste the happiness, the sweetness of Sri Radha, experience what it is about Krishna that attracts her so much, and understand the nature of Sri Radharani's love. So the internal reasons of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent can only be understood by one who carefully studies this first section of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Otherwise, at the most, we can only have an understanding of the external purpose of the Lord's incarnation. So this is very important. And Krishnadas Kaviraj here is first establishing how Bhagavan is the source of Paramatma and Brahman. Therefore, of these three categorical realizations of the Supreme Absolute Truth, that Bhagavan is, as he was explaining here, by so much logic, philosophy, reason, and shastra, that Bhagavan is the source, the basis. That impersonal Brahman is the effulgence emanating from the body of the Lord, Bhagavan. And that Paramatma is his localized expansion. But that Bhagavan is the source of all opulence, the source of everything, and the highest realization of the Absolute Truth. And then it is explained here that Bhagavan has appeared in so many forms, as Narayan, as Ram, as Parasuram, as Kurma, Varaha, Matsya, Vamana, Nrsingha, Balaram, Kalki, Buddha, so many forms. But of all of them, after establishing Bhagavan as the supreme of these three realizations, of all the incarnations of Bhagavan, Krishna is two Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna is the source of all. Doesn't mean Krishna is the only way, but it means he's the source of all. And then he establishes how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. Not an incarnation of Krishna. Oftentimes, for the sake of preaching, we even say that Lord Chaitanya is an incarnation of Krishna. But in fact, he's not an incarnation of Krishna. He is Krishna. Incarnation indicates an expansion of. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is directly identical in all opulence as Bhagavan. And in this way, he is preparing us to have a true perspective and understanding of the beautiful teachings and pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Tandhara Angera Shuta Kirana Mandal Upanishad Kanhe Kahitandre Brahma Sunirmaha. What the Upanishads call the transcendental impersonal Brahman is the realm of the glowing effulgence of the same person. Charamachakshi deke jayche surya nirvishesh Jnanamargi laite nari krishnira vishesh. As with the naked eye, one cannot know the sun except as a glowing substance. Merely by philosophical speculation, one cannot understand Lord Krishna's transcendental varieties. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is endowed with great power. The glowing effulgence of his transcendental form is the impersonal Brahman, which is absolute, complete, and unlimited, and which displays the varieties of countless planets with their different opulences in millions of universes. Koti koti brahmanande ye brahmaya vibhuti se brahma govindir hai anga kanti. The opulences of the impersonal Brahman spread through the millions and millions of universes. That Brahman is but the effulgence of the body of Govinda. Se Govinda bhajayami te hon morapati tanhara prasadi mora haya shristi shakti. I, Lord Brahma, worship Govinda. He is my Lord. Only by his grace am I empowered to create the universe. Naked saints and sannyasis who undergo severe physical penances, who can raise the semen to the brain, and who are completely equiposed in Brahman, can live in the realm known as Brahmaloka. It's explained here that by, this is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, that Vatsavasana refers to mendicants who do not care about anything material, including clothing, but who depend wholly on nature. Such sages do not cover their bodies even in severe winter or scorching sunshine. They take great pains not to avoid any kind of bodily suffering, and they live by begging from door to door. They never discharge their semen, either knowingly or unknowingly. By such celibacy, they are able to raise the semen to the brain. Thus they become most intelligent and develop very sharp memories. Their minds are never disturbed or diverted from contemplation on the absolute truth, nor are they ever contaminated by desire for material enjoyment. By practicing austerities under strict discipline, such mendicants attain a neutral state transcendental to the modes of nature and merge into the impersonal Brahma. He who is described in the Yoga Shastras as the indwelling supersoul, Atma Antaryami, is also a plenary portion of Govinda's personal expansion. And then Srila Prabhupada explains how the Supreme Lord, who is by nature joyful, his enjoyments or pastimes are completely transcendental. He is on the fourth dimension of existence. For although the material world is measured by the limitations of length, breadth, and height, the Supreme Lord is completely unlimited in his body, form, and existence. He is not personally attached to any of the affairs within the material cosmos. One of the expansions of Mahavishnu is Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, the Supersoul within everyone's heart. As the Supersoul of the total living entities, or the second Purusha, he is known as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, as the creator or original cause of the universes, or the first Purusha who is lying in the causal ocean. He is called Mahavishnu. So here he is explaining that through the system of yoga, one can understand this Paramatma, who is one of the three Purusha avatars. And the example given here is, as one sun, Kaviraj Goswami explains, appears reflected in countless jewels, so Govinda manifests himself as Paramatma in the hearts of all living entities. The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, said, "What more shall I say to you? I live throughout this cosmic manifestation merely by my single plenary portion." That Govinda personally appears as Chaitanya Gosai. No other Lord is as merciful in delivering the fallen souls. And tomorrow we'll read in the purport of this verse, Srila Prabhupada explains so many beautiful Shastra quotes prophesizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These verses are very important because they very, very authoritatively establish Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's true position. But, of course, we have discussed this on several occasions, how, what is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's position. But it must be very, very deeply rooted within our heart. That is why we are discussing it again and again. Because very soon we will be entering into the transcendental mellows of the loving relationships of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. And we want to very carefully approach this subject matter. We don't want to be like the sahajas and take things cheaply. We want to be very well learned in the science and of the basic principles. We have to have a great conviction based on, as Kaviraj is presenting, philosophy, logic, and shastra, in the words of the previous acharyas. Because after all, when we are living in this world, we will find many gurus, many sadhus, many yogis. And in one sense, everyone is teaching love for the same one God. But in another sense, we must discriminate the different levels of realization of that one God. And of course, if one is aspiring for the more preliminary understandings of Godhead, more preliminary realizations, there's really no need to understand the distinction. One will be very happy to, God is one, God is the impersonal Brahman, everything is within him, and that is all we have to know. For that realization, really that is all you have to know. But so that we do not become contented with that preliminary realization, so that we can go on to higher understandings, higher realizations, and keep our mind and our goal in life fixed on that, it is very important to understand the different gradations of the Lord's, how he reveals himself to the eternal soul. And therefore this is very, very important. Sometimes when we're hearing the discourse of someone, yes, this sounds just like our philosophy. And on the preliminary level, it is just like our philosophy. Because all the transcendentalists who are authoritative, they all teach you're not this body. They all teach you you are the soul. They all teach to give up sense gratification. They all teach that you should live a simple life. You should eat only vegetarian foods. They all teach you must follow the four regulative principles, if they are authorized. So it sounds just like this. But the conclusion of Sarva Dharma Purityaja, surrendering to Bhagavan, understanding how the Lord in the heart, how the impersonal Brahman, you cannot have a loving relationship with Brahman. And you cannot have a loving relationship simply with Paramatma. It is only with Bhagavan that you can have this loving relationship. And therefore, devotees, they have to keep their mind very fixed on this. It's like recently we were associating with very, very great saints of another sampradaya, very, very highly realized souls, and following a very authorized process of self-realization. And it was very, it was a beautiful thing to see. It was enriching. But I was just thinking throughout that after reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita and getting a glimpse of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, everything is incomplete without that. The taste of the sweetness of the rasa, of the Vorni Thai, the freedom of their distribution of love, the nature of their lila, so much of the heart of the soul, that we can only offer all respects to all of these other great sadhus and saints, and we can very much appreciate their consciousness and worship their feet on that level. But as far as in our own lives, once tasting the sweetness of Gaur Lila, there's just nothing really is very attractive anymore. It's attractive only in reference to that, but it's incomplete. And this is why the great acharyas of the Gaudiya Sampradaya consider the Chaitanya Charitamrita to be the most important of all the books, of all the scriptures. Because it gives the most complete exhibition of the sweetness of the mercy of Godhead. And of course, Anyone can say like this. It is not that devotees should think we are better than any other religion. That is sectarianism. That is one of the great evils of the world. A devotee should never think himself better than anybody. But a devotee should have his heart very much fixed in the divine mercy that is coming from Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And although seeing Krishna in every other religion, seeing Krishna in every other spiritual person, a devotee never deviates from the form of worship and the form of devotion that is being presented by the Jugavatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In order to have this fixed conviction and firm faith on the path, which actually gives a universal understanding of all religions, one must be very, very much convinced and very much fixed in faith on these principles that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is here explaining in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we will be going over this very profusely for the benefit of all of our devotees. Is there any questions? How has he proved? Can prove anything, but it doesn't mean it is actual. In other words, he has written the Sariraka Bhasya, which is the impersonalistic commentary of the Vedanta Sutra. But then Ramanujacharya came and he wrote the Sri Bhasya, which completely refuted Shankar's understanding of Vedanta Sutra. And Madhvacharya, he came and he felt that Ramanujacharya didn't do a good job. He didn't, you know, it's like he left him dying, but he didn't actually kill him. <You know? laughs> So he wrote his commentary, which... And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was achintya beda beda atatva, achintya beda beda tatva. When he was discussing with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he was discussing with Prakashananda Saraswati, he was specifically directing his arguments at the very basis of the Mayavad school of thought, which is a sariraka bhasya of Shankaracharya. And he explained how what Shankaracharya's real purpose and mission was. He was on a divine mission of God to establish, according to certain times and circumstances, certain religious principles. And of course, that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they accept Vyasadeva's version. Vyasadeva wrote his own commentary on the Vedanta Sutra in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So because of the great, great esteem in which the Gaudiya Vaishnavas accept the Srimad Bhagavatam, they never considered it was necessary to write a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. The Ramanuja Bhaktas did, the Madhva Bhaktas did, the Shankarites did, and according to the great schools of thought, if your sampradaya does not have a very strong and powerful presentation on the basis of Vedanta Sutra to establish your teachings, then it cannot be accepted by learned scholars of the Vedic school. But all of the great acharyas of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, they accept that Vyasadeva already wrote a commentary called the Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, in the Bhagavatam itself, Narada Muni explains to Vedavyas, you have taken all the Vedas, you've written all of them, and then you've summarized all of them in Vedanta Sutra and you're still not satisfied. You have to write a commentary of that essence of the Vedas in the form of Bhagavad, which he did. So therefore the great Vaishnavas, they always wrote their commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam. They considered that was far more important. They didn't concern themselves. They didn't really care if they were criticized or anything like that. But then later on, at the time in Jaipur, when there was a great criticism, great criticism. And at that time, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he approached his disciple Baladev Vidyabhushan. He was actually a Madhva initiate, but who accepted and who had that very deep philosophical understanding of Madhvacharya's commentary of Vedanta Sutra, but who had accepted the all-inclusive conclusions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Six Goswamis. He was asked, with his literary genius, to present Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's version of the Vedanta Sutra. In fact, we have it right here, English translation as well as the original Sanskrit. It is Baladev Vidyabhushan's commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, which is of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. You can read that if you like, to show that, that each of these commentators have brought out a essential aspect of the Vedanta Sutra. But what the Gaudiya Vaishnavas have done is they've remained very faithful to Vyasadeva's original commentary and simply extracted that essence. It's all in relationship to Bhagavad. Any other questions?
And it describes how the whole commentary of Govinda Basu came to be. How the Ramanandis were claiming that the Gaudiyas were not a bona fide sampradaya. They had no connection to either of any of the four sampradayas. And they said Radha Krishna should not be worshipped together, only Krishna should be worshipped. Radharani is no less. How Balaji Vidyabhushan ultimately came to write it, and how he presented it in the court of Raja Jayasingh. Very interesting. It is more to exhibit the bona fides of the sampradaya rather than to understand the Vedanta Sutra better.
There was no need to understand. It was more or less for the people in general. We don't find so much that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas ever even read his commentary. They do sometimes, but it was more for the rest of the world, for the establishment of the
bona fides.
Yes. Basically, study the Bhagavatam. That is the original commentary. Like Srila Prabhupada uses the example that who understands a book better than the author and the purpose of the book better than the author? Prabhupada actually uses this example in terms of the Vedanta Sutra. The Vedanta Sutra is very difficult to understand for an ordinary man. That is why Vyasadeva wrote his own commentary. Now who knows the Vedanta Sutra better than Vedavyas, the author? He uses the example that there was one book. It was named Shah Jahan. And 95% of this book is describing the atrocities of Aurangzeb, who was the son of Shah Jahan. Aurangzeb killed his brothers, imprisoned his father, and then he went out and started ruling, and he was tearing down temples, murdering people. So the whole book describes the atrocities of Aurangzeb. So one scholar who had read this book approached the author and said, this is not correct. You should have named this book Aurangzeb. Why did you name this book Shah Jahan? It only says a few lines about Shah Jahan. The whole rest of the book is about Aurangzeb. It should be named Aurangzeb. He said, no, you have missed the whole point of the book. So the whole point of the book is to show that how much Shah Jahan had to suffer because of his son. And all of these atrocities, you must understand, that I'm describing, the purpose of the book is to describe how much he caused so much pain and suffering to his father through everything he did. That's why it is called Shah Jahan, because it's actually a book about him. Aurangzeb secondary. Huh? So, an ordinary reader cannot understand that. But the author knows the essence. He knows the purport. He knows why he has written. So in the same way, the Vedanta Sutra, so many people have commented on it. But Vedavyas is the author. What does he have to say about it? He knows why he wrote the Vedanta Sutra. He knows the purpose behind it. And he has given that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Today you are...